Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you because we are free. We are free to love you. We are free to have a relationship with you, to know you. We are free to do your will. And we thank you, Father, because it is our will to do your will. We thank you, Father, because we have no purpose of our own but your purpose. And your will is our will. And we are completely subjected to your will. Now we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you have called us for big things. You have not called us for small things, but for big things. We thank you because we are kind of first fruit for what you are doing in this earth. And we are special people, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, called to show forth your praises. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you have even qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we are qualified to partake of that inheritance because you yourself have qualified us, and nobody can disqualify us because we are qualified. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now that you know that you are not called to do small things. Amen. You are not called to do what? Now that you know that you are not called to survive, you are called to be in a place of leadership, in a place of dominion. You are not built for survival. There are people, a generation past, perhaps children of God, who could have settled for, you know, just going through life and surviving and being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But you are not one of them. Praise the Lord. Now, in doing God's will, if you are determined to do God's will, you just know that you have to put yourself in harm's way, one way or the other. You see, a deception is that the will of God creates harmony and unity and love and general good feeling. Now, that's how lukewarm churches are made, when they think that confrontation is of necessity wrong. And you see, and then they present a certain kind of Jesus who actually, if you read the Gospels, was nowhere close to what Jesus really was. Like, he was the most confrontational person. Imagine a man who is called into a synagogue. And then he stands. The very people who invited him there, he stands right on their pulpit and starts telling people, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because they are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly look good, but inside are full of dead men's bones. Then he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because they go and proselytize somebody, and when he has been won over, he becomes twice as much a son of hell as themselves. Then says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because they want to make long and pretentious prayers and put on robes and fast in the marketplaces so that people might see them. And then he says, beware of, you know, who go and adorn the tombs of the prophets and say, if we lived in our days, in their days, we would not have crucified these people. And then he says, you brood of vipers, in front of them. And they are the ones who invited him. And he says, you brood of vipers, how can you survive the damnation of hell? You imagine such a man. Then when he has abused them in the old chapter, Matthew 23, then he puts down the mic and walks away. Right in front of them. In front of their audience, in front of, do you understand? Now, the truth is, there is a big, and now I know this, because some of you, in the course of doing the will of God, you are going to see confrontation from the people whom you think should understand They are the ones who understand the least. Amen? And now those, but you see, when you just persist and do what you do, eventually people come around. Amen? But you see, when you start, now remember, and when you start and just go and confront everybody and offend everybody doing the will of God, now that's how it's going to be, eh? And then you proceed on and on and on. Eventually, people fall in line and start seeing that. Who told you that? Do you know that what amused me, I remember reading the story of Exodus and how Moses first comes and tells the children of Israel that your God has remembered you and has sent me. Then he performed for them some miracles there which God had showed him how to do. And they bowed down and worshipped. But as soon as he went into the court of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh turned things around on the children of Israel, the elders of the children of Israel came and cursed Moses and said, may the Lord punish you. I'm using mild words. Because you have put a sword in Pharaoh's hands to destroy us. Now, imagine if Moses had said, but am I really doing the will of God? And then he starts second guessing himself. Because he seems to be pushing in a certain direction, but actually, he causes more misery for the people whom he's supposed to be saving. And then those people turn against him and say that the people who initially, when they heard that God had remembered them, remember it says Pharaoh died and the children of Israel cried out to God. Why did they cry out to God? Because when Pharaoh died, there was 40 days of mourning, so there would be no work. So that's the only free time they had. So they cried out in their public, 40 days of a public holiday. So they cried out. Now then Moses shows up at that time. Now when they cried the 40 days, then God shows up to Moses. Then Moses comes. Then they say, now he has heard our prayers. But immediately they turn around and now they start, you know, crucifying the same guy. I'll give you an example. Some people even offended when it was first said. But you see, when people don't see in the spirit, they just go by what knowledge they have around. I'll give you an example like Donald Trump. Now remember, way before he was elected, I wasn't so sure he would be elected, but I knew he was God's will. And I could just tell it from the way he behaves himself. And now that is the kind of person who is going to do the will of God. Like, he does not care, he just goes and hammers everybody, he abuses back everybody. Now, I'm not saying abuse back, but the point is, like, he's not deterred by anything. They abuse him, call him everything, he just abuses back, until he actually wore them down. And now, when people do things like that, now, when he becomes, he does this, he confronts every single thing. And now, he's doing what he actually believes in. And you see now, here is the thing. If you are called to be like him, if actually you are like him in character, and then you try to be, you know, nice and what they were telling you, can't you be a little presidential? They will hammer you. That's the worst thing you can ever do. Now, if somebody is as confrontational as I am by nature, you understand, eh? I cannot try to tame myself because I will lose myself. Now, there are things which I have to say in a certain way. And I've been like that for so many years. When I was writing in the media, I would just write and blast everybody and somehow I got away with it. Now, I'm not going to stop now. You understand? Because then I lose myself. And then God assigns you something according to your character. Because he knows that certain things only this one can handle. Now, the other people who are different. Now, if he gets me because he sees something in me to do something, and then I decide to, you know, be a bit gentleman and what, I lose it and I become useless to him. Do you understand? Eh? Now I present myself the way I am, take it or leave it. By the way, now, because the thing is this, you have to understand that there's nothing anybody out there can do to you. Nothing. Do you understand? If you've learned how to live this life, which is why I've continually said these things, because there are so many things which they try to do, blocking what, blocking social access, blocking what, You know, now they are bringing this blockchain. Remember the thing I told you at the beginning of the year? The blockchain thing? Now, they are introducing, and you know the country they want to, like they are pushing it to be effective very fast? Uganda. Very, very fast. Why? Because they want, in a short time, you have to join that system. Now, even if you are to buy a piece of land, you don't just go the way it has been. Now, everything is on ledger. Now, you can't buy land like that. Everything is on ledger. The transaction is done through blockchain. Now, this is what is going to be introduced in a few months. So then you have to, every money has to be accounted for. You can't just be having money somewhere. Now, you see, if they do that because they know there are so many people who have a lot of money outside of that system. You know, there are so many people even now who keep money in houses, what? Loads of money. But now if they introduce that system, you have two choices. Either you put the money in their system and then they have control over it, or your money cannot help you. Because you cannot go and say, here is $200,000, I want this piece of land. No. So it has to go through a ledger in a certain way and all this thing. Now, if you've not tied yourself up and somehow away from their system, then they totally completely control you, and there is nothing you can do about it. Because now if you withdraw any more than 20 million from any of these banks, they will ask you, what are you going to do with it? Your money. When you deposit, nobody asks, you know. But now, when you withdraw, they ask, what are you going to do with the money? And you actually have to give a valid explanation before they let you release it. And then if you have more than 20 million going through your account in a month, then they flag it. Then they start watching you. Then they start seeing what you do. And things like that. Now imagine just 20 million. 20 million. At least if it was 200 million. 20 million. Now you see, they are setting a system in which certain people are not supposed to go above a certain amount of money. For you, we do not expect you to have more than 20 million. Now tell me how you're going to come and thrive in that system unless you learn how to be confrontation and not fear. Because people use fear. You can't even say something that is on your mind because you're scared. Somebody says that, you know, but why do you ever talk about, you know, government and what? You know, let me tell you something. If there's anything they could do, they would have done it a long time ago. Now, but even if they did it, like there is nothing. Let me tell you, Jesus died and he rose again. Now, there is nothing you can do to scare me when Jesus died and he rose again. Do you understand? What I'm saying is this. Those people, but the most miserable people are the people who don't know God. Because what is their security? Now, me, even if you succeeded, which nobody is going to do, but even if they succeeded in killing me, like, I just go and find my cappuccinos in my mansion. Like, where, now, if you don't, like, where is their security? You see, they are the most miserable of human beings. Because they are putting their system, all their trust in something which is going to come down tumbling very soon. Now, I was telling you about China. You watch and see what's going to happen to China. Because they think they have sorted everybody, bought all the resources on this continent. And for us, Uganda, we are represented by a certain man and his wife, and his in-law. Three family members signing deals, giving our resources for 40 million Ugandans. A man, his wife, and his in-law. And they go and sign. 20 years. 30 years. The good thing is that God is going to judge China. And it's going to judge them for being ungodly. And all those deals they are saying, you wait and see. It's not going to take more than a year and a half. By the end of next year, you will see what will happen. Now, so let them sign those deals. Let them sign those deals. It's okay with us. Because even the people who are signing are like a blowing wind. They will also be gone by that time. So, now, Luke chapter 12, verse 42. You know, let me tell you, people who rule, who are going to rule tomorrow, people who can see ahead. Now, if you can't see ahead, and you're planning, all your plans are by what there is right now, a cloud which is passing. People who even they themselves know their time is up, and a fearful expectation of judgment has engulfed them, that they are now even fearing scarecrows. Like, do you know, like, you make somebody internationally famous who is like a scarecrow. You know, let me tell you something. Do you know, have you ever seen those, when somebody, you know, there are things which people do, and then you know there is a certain protection that has gone away from them. Okay? Now, but the trouble is there are people who see themselves as grasshoppers. You remember the 12 spies? They say, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And so were we in their eyes. Now, if you are like a grasshopper in your eyes, then you will be that way in the eyes of everybody else who is seeing. Amen? Now, you see the children of Israel going to Egypt, or rather into Canaan, the land they go to spy, and nobody even knows they are there. You understand? Nobody even notices that they are there. They go, they even get fruit and leave because they are grasshoppers. And it's, the other two say that these people, if the Lord delights in us, we are going to consume them because their protection is departed from them. But you see these other ones, because now for them they go and there is no... Now, fast forward 40 years, when Joshua sends spies, the whole of Jericho is on a standstill because now these people know they are not grasshoppers. They even close the gates and say, where are the men that came, until they go to the household of Rabbah. Now you see, the previous time they came, you arrived in, you know, you imagine like spies will come and they go totally unnoticed. People are going about their business. Now, later, because these people know who they are, as soon as they hear spies came, they lock the gate. When they lock the gate, it means people can't get out of the city to go and do agriculture. Because the cities were like, you know, build one building after the other, then people went out to dig. So they say now, or to harvest and what, and they brought the food into the city. Now they lock the gates because the children of Israel have come to spy. And then they find out, where did they go? To the house of Rahab. Okay? Now, what has changed? The way those people perceive themselves. Previously, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Now, they see themselves as people who have come to conquer. Praise the Lord. Now, when you see yourself as a grasshopper, and God is seeing you as somebody who is going to take over a city, then even the people who are supposed to be scared, but you are not. Now, when you see people beginning to get scared, then you know that you've hit a certain chord in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Because fear is the fact. Now, people are running out. Do you know the Bible says that a wicked man runs even when nobody is chasing him? So now what's happening here? People notice that the cloud has, and they know it. And now they are running from scarecrows. And they look very bad, by the way, because like they make decisions which you wonder, how did somebody do that? Do you know, like, I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen, okay, this is not a good one, but to give you the point. You know when somebody, let's say, dies. And then they say, that person was killed outside in town at 1 a.m. Then the people who know him say that for all the years I've known him, by 7 he's at home. What happened today that he left? He was out of home at 1. Now that is because it was a time, something like when somebody's time has arrived, they even do things which you say, but was he thinking? What was he thinking? But that was something that now, even people, certain people, who are running away, nobody is chasing. When the wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are as bold as what? Amen? Okay, let's go back. Now that you know that you're a lion, and that you know that you are not called for something small. Like, You're not called to survive. You're not called to get by. It's like big things, praise the Lord. Amen. By the way, I would rather die pursuing something big than settle for survival. In these end times, so I settle for survival? Like how? I don't want the Lord to hammer me chiboko. But you know, and you know there's going to be chiboko in heaven. Did you know that? Eh? You didn't know, eh? Okay. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise servant, steward, whom his master will make ruler over his household? Eh? His master will make what? You'll make him what? A ruler. Because that's what you're going to be. Amen? Eh, you are not a servant, you're a ruler. Now his master is going to make him a ruler over his household. Okay? To give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Glory to God. So, you start as a ruler. When you're faithful, you become a bigger ruler. But somehow, you are ruling. You're of the ruling class. Say amen. Say, I belong to the ruling class. Okay. Now, if that means if somebody, if there are people out there who think they belong to the ruling class and they are not you or part of you, they are deceiving themselves. They are warming the seat for you. Amen? Because the true ruling class is now about to be unleashed. Eh? Glory to God. Okay, go to the next verse. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So now, do you know there is chiboko in heaven? I'm not the one who wrote those scriptures, eh? Amen? Will be beaten with many stripes. Now you say this is a figure of speech. It is not. Chiboko. Why do you think the Bible says the Lord will wipe away the tears? Which tears would you be crying? And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now, you know what you're supposed to do. You know where you're supposed to rule, but you settle for survival. And God is counting on you to get in your place for this whole end time harvest to happen. Praise the Lord. Now this end time harvest is going to involve every single one of you put sitting in the seat you're supposed to sit in. Glory to God. And that does not just mean preaching, it means in every sphere. I told you that the harvest of the end time is not harvest of souls. It is harvest of kingdoms, of systems, of, you know, it's a wholesale harvest. Eh? That means you get that company and give it over to the Lord. Then somebody gets a nation and gives it over to the Lord. Eh? Then somebody gets a government department and says, in this ministry, I'm handing it over to the Lord. Eh? So now, everybody in that place who does not believe like you goes down. And those who believe like you go up. That's how ruling class is established. Because you sit in a place and say that, now, this place, I am the boss. And now, since I'm the boss, everybody who is like me comes out on top. Now, you don't have to wait to be the boss to declare that. Eh? Amen? If you wait until you're the boss, then you will not become. Declare it before you are. When there is nothing in the natural that even suggests that you can be the boss. Then you say it. Then it happens. Then when it happens, the cream, the ruling class, eh? The you and your friends and people who are like you come out on top. And now the other people are there to be dominated. And that is what God is calling us to do. Like you have to have, some people you dominate, some unbelievers, eh? Because they choose unwise, eh? You dominate them. So they are the office messengers, they are the cooks, they are the what? Eh? So the hajaras, the hajatis, the whatevers, eh? For them they are there to cook. they are the drivers. So when you go to pray and you're praying in tongues, a certain Haji is seated in the car, waiting for you to finish praying in tongues, because he has to be dominated. Praise the Lord. Now that they have to be dominated, and by the way, let me tell you, they have to be. There is no way, if you don't take your seat, me, I'll take mine, and we are going to dominate them. Amen. Yeah, and they will find their level. It has to happen. I'm not going to wait and be beaten stripes. Me, I'll take my seat. If you want Chivoko, you wait for it. Me, I'm going to take my seat. Shall be beaten with many stripes. Okay. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. Now, the fact that you're here and that you hear what I am saying means that you're a candidate for stripes. Because you can no longer hide among those who don't know. Now, there will be people there who say, Lord, me, I didn't know. You mean who are supposed to dominate? Me, I didn't know. And then for him, they hammer him few and they tell him, okay, go and have your cappuccino. Now, for you, before you go for the cappuccino, you have to first be there. Because you have been entrusted with the Lord. And then he goes on to say, for everyone to whom much is given, for him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. Amen? So, there are people who within their level of knowledge have actually excelled to a certain degree. And they don't know better, and somehow they won't get as much work. Okay, now you know you people are getting scared of going to heaven. Anyway, it's worse the other side. Anyway, I'm joking, but okay. But from whom, for everyone who is given much, to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. And now this is how judgment is. Now let's go ahead. I came to send a fire on the earth. And how I wish it was already kindled. Do you understand? Now this is Jesus saying. He came to set up things. Now let me tell you, by people being confrontational, that's how the wheat is separated from the chaff. You see, the best thing the enemy can do is come and sneak into believers and be the same, and there is no difference. And they do that a lot. You understand? And now when they start trying to reach out to believers and make it, oh no, we serve the same God, and you know, that sort of thing. And when you fall for them, then you've gone off. Because there has to be something that divides. And now we are getting to a time of that division, where those who are willing to do the will of God will be separated clearly from those who have chosen not to. And not everybody is going to choose to. So many people are going to choose not to, and that's okay. Okay? But they will be dominated. Now, first go to Barakai, chapter 3. Behold, I send a messenger, and you prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Now you see, he says, the Lord whom, in whom you delight, that thing which you want. Now you know, people who call for revival, and when it comes, they are kind of not yet ready for it. Now that thing which you wanted, then he says, you've been praying for it, but it's going to show up suddenly. And then he said, but can you really endure it? When it comes, will it be something that you really want? Or did you want it to come in a different way? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Now it's talking about Jesus. A fire. Remember he said there that he came to set a fire. Now here, that's what Jesus said. Now here he's saying that he's like a refiner's fire. In other words, he comes, creates a scenario in which the wheat is separated from the chaff. Those who want to do the will of God are separated from those who don't want to do it. Now, go ahead. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. That is talking about the priesthood. That is talking about you. He's not talking about the world. It's talking about you. Where he purifies. Now, purify, in this case, is not necessarily about the works of the flesh. It is about doing the will of God, the purpose. doing God's purpose. Amen? Now, when you see, the thing is, what, of course, when people start teaching a gospel which is moral, you know, moral, then you find somebody who is doing the will of God, and people are picking out what is wrong with him. You've seen that, for instance, with what? That Chigai, the president of the U.S. The guy is actually doing something which is of the will of God, and separating people, and now making a certain kind of people who had made it there, you know, those so-called liberals, progressives, whose only interest is in homosexuality, bestiality, and all that, who want to cause a cultural revolution. Now he causes them to be so angry, and then something incredible happens. God fights his enemies. Like, I've been noticing all this time, the people who stood up against him, something happened to them. Now, one of them was actually Mayor of New York, who hated him. He hated him completely. Now, and you know, the Lord can set up. By the way, don't bother fighting people. Let God fight them himself. Because there is a way God can set people up. Now, this guy was one of the people who was so anti him. How can he be an? Because he's part of the ruling class. Now, when Hollywood came up with its thing of the Me Too movement, where, you know, every girl was somehow raped. Okay? And I'm not belittling, you know, the thing of rape, but I know it was just some movement which came up to confuse people. And I know where it's like, you see, you have to separate. But you see, when you think with your emotions, you don't actually see the plot of the enemy. And you don't know that the enemy attacks people through emotions. Okay? How do you think they popularized? I remember there was a movie in 1996 featuring Tom Hanks, and called Philadelphia. And that movie, playing on people's emotions, is the one which pushed the agenda of homosexuality so strongly. Because that guy, you know the way people write a script and they make you like somebody, and then you like him in the script. You understand? Eh? Then you actually want them, then you find out the person is homosexual. Then after that, people started saying, but yeah, you know. And you see, they show how they mistreated him and what. And like, it's just playing on people's emotions and producing a very demonic thing using emotions. Now, there's another movie of last year, which even one of the ones which was prophesied by prophet. It's called The Shape of Water. And don't go and watch it, please, if you haven't. Eh? It's absolute, and it's crap, eh? But it plays on people's emotions. And there's this person who is, there's this woman who is having sex with a fish. But there is a way they do it, and you're so taken in and what, and like very demonic things, eh? But presented through emotion, and you feel bambi and what. By the time you're through, what you knew was fake, you start thinking, but maybe it's not so fake. Maybe, and they have you. So now these things, this is how so many people get to now. So those people come up with, anything that comes from there is crap. Eh? So they come up with the Me Too, also me, I was what, also me, I what, you know. Yeah, then there are these people who actually were, you know, did some bad things and so on, who are brought to justice. But then in between, there's a lot of confusion and you don't understand it. So this guy, who I'm telling you, this guy who hated, the guy, New York mayor or something, was one of the first people to jump up and say, you know what, these people should be brought to book. What? Now, the guy spoke like he was like the poster boy for the Me Too movement, how men who, you know, sexual violence should be punished and what. Now, when he had talked as much as he could talk, guess what? Somebody comes out with tapes when he's doing the worst things. And now God just lets you talk. Now, like, it's a real setup. You understand? Eh? Now, when you're doing the purpose of God, by the way, even when you make mistakes, God will cover them up. Do you understand that? Eh? Like, he knows how to cover, because this is about the souls of men. This is not about winning a moral contest. Amen? Eh. This is about the souls of men. This is about bringing people into the kingdom. This is about his kingdom being on top. And now, if you set yourself up as an agent for that, even when you make mistakes, God will cover them. And somehow, they don't pursue you. And we've seen that in the scripture. Actually, in the scripture, even there were cases where somebody benefits from sin. Like Abraham. He lies to a man. The man takes his wife. God comes for the man. and says, you're finished, you're dead. But it's Abraham who lied. Then he said, the guy whose wife you've taken is a prophet. So take him back. So the guy gets silver, gold, cows, what? And gives Abraham for lying. And you know what Abraham did? He did it again. And you know what happened? He got more riches. And that's in the Bible. Now, you see that Abraham was fulfilling God's purpose. Now, you think God's purpose is going to be spoiled because of one single lie? No. The man believed God and told him, leave this place, go. Now, how many of you would do that? Start walking to a place where I will show you. Now, if Abraham doesn't do it, God's purpose for faith, righteousness by faith, Isaac, what? You imagine a man who God tells, get your son and go and sacrifice him. And he's willing to do that. So you see, when you get into this whole moral, like, you miss the purpose of God. Now, people are going to be justified because they are in the purpose of God and doing what God wants them to do, even when they do fake things. Eh? Now, so that guy, after he had spoken everything, then also him guys started, women came out to accuse him. After the first and second accusation, the man resigned immediately and took off, because clearly I think he had a lot of skeletons in his cupboard. Eh? So he said, let me run before these guys find more. So he took off. Now, then you see, throughout, by the limit, like, I have been doing that thing where certain things don't even make sense. Like the guy says this, the economy is going to be like this, it's like that. It's going to be like this, it's like that. Then people say, then everybody say, no, he's racist, racist. Now, blacks are running to him. Why? Because of money. And by the way, when he became president, remember I spoke on Bruce, and the Lord told me clearly that he is going to succeed because of money, because of economy, because of if you put money in people's pockets. And now, people who were so against him, now guess what? The people who fought him the most, even Hollywood actors, their careers are going like this. And that's God. Now, even the Oscars, this one, had the record lowest ratings of all Oscars because people were there bashing him. Now, even the Grammys, the Music Awards, record low. And now even when the Oscars had the record low ratings, the guy went and tweeted that because there are no more stars in Hollywood, that he's the only star. Now even rubs it in. But you see now those are now... even TV channels, when he stood up and was becoming nominated as the candidate for the Republican Party in 2016, CNN was the number one news channel. The number one channel at 9 p.m. prime time. Now it is number 14 because of abusing him. And do you know who is number 13? The Food Channel. The Food Network. The Food Network. Imagine people prefer to watch people doing, you know, cooking kalo and what, eh? Rather than watching CNN. But you see, still they don't learn. They continue bashing and they are going down, 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 like systematically. And the only channel which actually seems to have only nice things to say about him, sometimes even unfairly, but they are so in support of him, they don't even see any mistakes he makes, even when he makes them. Fox News is number one. And by a distance, now, where somebody chooses, now I'm telling you this because this is how it's going to work. When you set out and you don't fear the reprimand of people and what, and say, I'm going to do, you know what the will of God is. Eh? You say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I'm going to do it. Eh? You will see how God sorts the people who are trying to fight you himself. And you don't even do it. You just go ahead and do. Go ahead. But by the way, God can do things in a certain way. Whoever thought that was possible? From number one to number 14, in 1 year, they lost 30% of their viewership. That's one in every three people. In 1 year. Now even there are reruns of cartoons. But I think number three is Nickelodeon. So there are more people watching cartoons. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is, by the way, man, when somebody is doing the will of God, and they don't fear, you know, all this talk of people come and express, you know, anger and disgust at you and what, and you just go ahead and do your thing. And don't mind them. Just go ahead and do your thing. You will see how God puts them in place, and sorts them. Somehow, and only him can do some of those things. You can't fight like that. Okay. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Go ahead. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earnings, and widows and orphans, and those who turn away an alien, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Let's read it. Yet for from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Hey, I actually think I wanted... Hold on. Go to chapter 4. You know that robbing God is the most preached scripture in churches. Eh? Will a man rob God? Bring your tithes and offering that there may be food in the house. But the guys who are crying for food have stomachs have to shake. And the people who are supposed to bring the food look like Roger here. Imagine you find me, you know, squeezing Roger or this evangelist, saying that, man, bring food. Then people say, shouldn't he be the one asking you for food? For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, first go back to that one. I want you to take note of that. Those who do wickedly will be like stubble, and the day is coming shall burn them up, that will leave them neither root nor branch. Go ahead. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat, like store-fed cow. You shall trample the wicked, for there shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord. Somebody say this is now. Yes. Now, there are people, now, even in every sphere, politics. Man, politics is full of witchcraft. Even people went there when they don't believe in it, somehow get into it. Now, they are going to be put down. And not just even losing their positions. Where are they? Like, they are really shaken. And by the way, God can do certain things. And you see, because it usually takes long, people proclaim it, and it takes a while. Then even sometimes the children of God start saying, yeah, but we've had that. You wait when it happens. And then you see how severe it can be. Amen? Like on those people. And he says that, for they shall be like ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Okay? Behold, I will send Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers. Now, what I want us to focus on here is the book of Remembrance. Go back to the book of Remembrance. It's right there. 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Amen? Now, I want you to know that the time is actually right now. When God, I told you the other time how God is turning everything upside down and making people who were trampled on become the people who are important. And he does that just to show that he is God. Now, he says here he will make you like his jewels. Now, somebody has been, you know, nothing is working out, I'm suffering, I'm this, you're moving from one place to another, you find yourself in this. Now, just put yourself in a position of believing God and give him a short while to turn you into a jewel. Amen? For his testimony. Because I sit every day and I see people come to me and they actually have real problems. But you see, the thing I have with the difficulty is keeping them in faith. Because the people who have stayed in faith have actually seen, and you know, I love that. The people who have stayed in faith have actually seen the salvation of God. And people have come to me Some get, you know, when it doesn't happen overnight, then they go somewhere, then they go places, then they go all over the city. And of course, like, you know, you have to let people exhaust all their options. Eh? So when somebody comes and tells me that, you know, yeah, I'm here, then I go to another place which is of a different anointing, then I say that, first go and exhaust the other place. Because you see, if that person goes, for instance, if they go and give there and then come and give here, then they don't get, then they start blaming me. I say, I don't want your thing. First go and exhaust the other place and get the testimony from there. Now, when you have completely exhausted it, then now come here if you still need salvation. But you see, when people try to mix things, and which is the biggest problem we have, by the one of the biggest problems we have getting people out of need is the mixing of things. People think they are sharp. So you put here, put here, put here, put here, and you get nothing. But anyway, so people come to you, and some people come and they are in a very bad state. One day I was a friend of mine. By the things I hear, like from people, okay, I'll not even give that story but you know, somebody comes and tells you, I'm going to do something. And when they tell you their situation, man, it is very sad. But when they stay in faith, somehow, after some time, because you see, it cannot happen overnight, because for it to have any form of permanence, you have to first take time to consume it and actually believe it, like, you know, make it your the revelation of your life. Then it starts giving birth, and when it starts, it does not stop. But you see, people are impatient, you understand? People are impatient. You take something which is, you know, and take it and consume it, let it become the revelation of your life, and start believing in a certain way. Now you believe you are the ruling class, you believe you are not supposed to be at the bottom, you do not settle for anything that is midway, you just say, no, that's not who I am. Now you start completely believing it. Now if you don't believe it, then you hinder God's progress in your life. But you just take time and actually believe it. Then give God time to turn you into a jewel. Then now when it starts working, people say, how did you get there? But you took your time, and you actually got to a place where you totally believe. Because let me tell you, there are so many people here, so many people who, like, don't, do you know, like, if I told you the things we encounter here, of the things people do. Now, so, I'll tell you, like, what, some other ministry, some guy told me, they arrived for church and they had locked the place. Why are you locking the place? We paid. The person, the minister of God, whom they were giving the money to go and pay, was eating the money. So now they were 6 months in arrears and they thought they were up to date. So you arrive for fellowship in a suit, dressed very well to go and what? Split the word. Only to find that what? They have closed the place. And the man of God, whom you trust, like right there, has been chewing the money all along. And he looks at you and says, just bring money, we pay. And the guy has eaten it. But they don't play. It's like, you know, the spirit of Judah, when you're faced with spiritual things and you despise them and choose material, it's a very bad thing, by the way. Because you never actually see the real thing. You never see it. And you have to get to a time where you actually are tested in a way that, can you believe something that is spiritual? Because when it is spiritual, it's permanent. And now when you get into that place of permanence, nobody can stop you, not even these blockchains and what, nothing. You understand? So then, when that guy tells his story, other people start telling their stories also. And it turns out everybody is a man, also me, man, they message. Praise the Lord. Like, and those are the people. Now, do you think somebody like that actually believes? No, he doesn't. If you come to church and you've come to steal people's money, like, you don't believe. And there are so many people who don't believe. So you come and try to say things and somebody is just looking at you and it's like you're in some katemba. And they don't actually believe. Man. Like, okay. Praise the Lord. And by the way, money can be a test. Okay, and on the day that I make you my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Okay? Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. How would you discern them? Those who believe
will come out on top. Those who serve him will come out on top. And nothing will stop them. If you actually believe the things we say, and you see, like the reason it even takes time, because you have people saying, until people actually say, but actually I can be of the ruling class. Amen? And you think I'm going to be, some of you think I'm going to be there being a watchman all the rest of my, no, I have other assignments. Huh? I have other assignments. Eh? Eh? I have other assignments, and let me tell you, I'm going to execute them. And nobody can stop me. Amen? Hey. Now, if we've not trained enough watchmen here, eh? Then what have I been doing the last 4 years? Huh? Anyhow, much take it. We have other assignments. Eh? And you see, you tell people this. Eh? When you tell people this, suddenly, man, people are scared. Now, like, people are hacking my phone. You cannot even make a conversation. You cannot even talk for 2 minutes before it goes off. Because everybody is hacking it and water, and they are scared. Like, scared of me. Eh? They have good reason to be scared. Eh? Like, man, by the things that don't play, like, there are people who are in fear. Eh? They are in fear because their time is up. Eh? We are coming for them. Eh? We are coming for them. By the, there is nothing they can do. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing they can do. Eh? We are coming for them. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, when you get the big deal, the big dream, you have to first, you start following the small steps. You see, that's where now many people lose it. Because every time God tells you, now do this, now move like this, now move like this. It's in those small steps that you actually get to the big one. Do you understand? And now when God gives you a big one, like I'm taking you to the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, that is the headline. Now, after that, after I has told you the final destination, then he tells you, now, cross the Red Sea, now go here, now camp here at Mount Sinai, now move from here. Now, you have, if you miss out his directions, step by step, you miss out on the big thing. So, if you have a big dream, follow your, if you have a big vision, make sure that your dreams, the dreams you have, most of you, the things will come through a dream, and it might even seem like small things to you. You understand? Now, the other day, I even dreamt when God was telling me that the place I buy my clothes is too cheap for me. Now, those are instructions. Now, for him, that's important. So now I stepped up. Amen? Now, the things you think are small are not small. Now, some of you will dream about the people you associate with. Get away from those people. Step away from them. Because you cannot achieve your dream with those people around you. Now, you have a big dream. It is of God. You've written it down like I told you. You've done everything. Now, the next instruction. It can be, move a house. I don't want you staying where you're staying. Now, until you do that, you know to go to the next. So then you do that. Then it says, now also do this. Now do this. Then you actually are moving steadily towards that dream. Now, you see, if you despise these small things, if you do not write them down, if you do not write down your dreams, not the big dream which I told you, your dreams every day, because they are the ones which give you the steps. So if you are going to that place now, how do I start? First, get a job here. Work there for 3 months, 6 months. Now move here. Now do this. And all those things are coming slowly. But God has given you the end result. But all these steps, you have to follow them keenly. And God will show them to you, especially in dreams. And it will present itself to you. Then the people whom you meet, then the people whom you associate with, they stand in the way of your dream. Then you get to a place where you are tempted to settle for less. Now that's a big temptation for so many people, where you're tempted to settle for less because it is even far bigger than you ever thought you would be. But God wants you somewhere farther. So you say, I think if I stay here, it's okay. Then you're going to get chiboko. Amen? You're going to get chiboko because for him, he wants you there. Eh? So if you're supposed to be president and you settle for prime minister, chiboko. Eh? Stripes. Okay. Let's go back to Luke 12. I came to send a fire on earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you not at all, but rather division. Now you see, this is where people miss it. Like, somebody doing the will of God has to cause division. They have to cause division. If you're doing something and everybody is okay with it, it cannot be the will of God. It cannot. I'm telling you, remember when I told you how people doing the will of God have to follow a certain pattern, which is scriptures? You know, all the things which are written in scripture. You have to cause division. When you start something, it will be divisive. It will cause people to be angry. But if you mind the people, even the people don't know what they want. Eh? Even the people don't know what they want. So, you don't mind them. Just do what God is doing. Go and cause division. And not by causing division, I don't mean that on purpose. I'm saying when you pursue the will of God, people will be offended. Some people will not understand what is going on. And so many people will not understand what's going on. So many people will not understand. And they are not supposed to understand. And you're not supposed to stop and explain to them that, you know, this is what I'm doing, this is how it's going. No, you just ignore them and go ahead. Then eventually they will understand it. Amen? So you start out unpopular, but the scripture says the man who pleases God. Now eventually when you go, people start realizing that this person seems to know what they are doing. Because people are looking for leaders. They themselves don't know what they want. Now you go and talk to people and ask them, what do they want? Okay, right now they will tell you, we don't want this regime. But tell now, what do you want? They don't have an idea. So why do you listen to people like those? Do you understand? So when you start your thing, when you start your ministry, and you start your thing, God has called you to do this, do that. You just go ahead. I remember when I just started preaching end time on Spirit FM, for some reason there are other people who felt that. I think many people were listening to the watchman. So now, some Anglicans called over, what are they called? Apologetics. What school of apologetics. They started. Now every sermon of theirs was about me. This guy is like you, telling you that Jesus said, the Bible says nobody knows the day or the hour. Nobody whatever. And now, the thing is that they had 30 minutes before my 1 hour. So sometimes I just come to the station 15 minutes before, and I sit down, and I'm listening to the guy, hammering what I spoke last Wednesday. Until I decided I don't want to listen to him. So I would stay in my car and listen to worship music until it's 9 p.m. on the dot. That time the program was 9. Then I just go straight into the station when they are finished. Then even people who are supposed to be my friends, don't listen to this guy scaring you that Jesus is coming soon and what. Like, you can never do anything and people don't attack it. It is impossible. So now if you settle that in your heart, You just go ahead and do your thing. You start and say, I'm going to start my own this. Somebody says, who do you think you are? How can you do that? I mean, why don't you just settle for something small? And they have an idea of what they want you to settle for. Man, by the people can annoy you. Division, go ahead. For from now on, 5 in one house will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. Go back to that scripture. From now on, 5 in one house. From now on until when? Back at last. The scripture says the enemies of a man's enemies will be those of his household. Now in a house, Jesus says 5 will be three the other side, 2 this side. Okay? And that's just the way it is. Okay, go ahead. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, that's easier, and daughter-in-law against. Then he also said to the multitudes, that's easy. So if you don't like your mother-in-law, give her this scripture. Okay. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately say a shower is coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And so there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge drag you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. Now, I want to tell you that this scripture implies a lot about, now people think this is about heaven and hell. No, it's not. This scripture implies things which are very petty, which actually block people's visions, especially ladies, but even men, who can get drawn by very petty things. So you're supposed to be part of a choir, but you don't want to be because somebody does not like you, and then what? And they said this, they said, I don't dress properly, and then what? And you know, and you get drawn into very petty things. And sometimes I listen to these things, and I say, how can people in this time that we live in get drawn into such petty things? And you see, I cannot, by the way, I don't understand that. There are so many things I would understand, but I can't understand that somebody who has a long journey to travel is petty. If you wake up at, you know, in Mutungo, and you're driving to Kabale, would you stop at the roadside because one boda has knocked another boda? It's the people who are moving from Mutungo to Bugolobi who have the time to stop. And say, because I'm told, Vichy, Kusin Zono. What, you know, But if you have a long journey, if you have to drive up to Kabale, you have no time for that. So now when people get petty, then they actually bring their own journey down. Now I'll end with this, which I read last year. 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha, the prophet, called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you now arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, for him to be, first of all, crowned, he had to come out from his associates. Now, that's going to be some of you. Like, there are people whom you cannot associate with when you have a certain dream. Amen. There are places you cannot go when you have a certain dream. Praise the Lord. There are things you cannot, for instance, you cannot be called to do big things and you have a small heart. Like you don't, you know, there was some guy who was supposed to be, you're supposed to be president. I told you this story. The Lord told him in 1996 that he was going to be president. Then, and he believed it and he was convinced of it. Now, when I met him, he told me clearly, the Lord told me this and I knew he knew what he was saying. Now, somebody will tell you the Lord and you know that he's talking rubbish. So many of you do that. And you say, the Lord told me this, and I just say, don't waste my time. But now, this one, I knew he knew what he was saying. But then, now after some time, after this past election, now a certain friend of mine, the Lord showed him, actually took him up in the spirit, and showed him how unprepared the church was at the time. And so he showed him this guy who was supposed to be president. And he told him, he took him to his house. And he went there and he took, like his spirit was, went through all the house. And he realized this guy had Kaunda suits which he used to put on 20 years ago. He does, nothing gets, leaves him. He has all the tires. You know, you change the tires of your car and you do not have the board, you do not have the heart to give them away. You keep them here. So his garage is full of old tires. You know those people, And you never know when I need them. So even shoes which you put on long time ago, you can't give them out. Like you don't have that. So he showed him all over the place how nothing leaves him. Now, I went to that guy one day and the Lord had impressed something on him, on me. Because he was in touch with people who could fund certain things. So I went and told him, you know, you can actually kickstart your thing by doing, something like this and like this. And I laid out a plan for him. And the guy listened to me. And yeah, he escorted me out of his office. And I left. And I realized that he knew. He was saying, this guy, where does he think I can get the money? Now, when somebody has a small heart like that, he cannot give away even old tires or old suits. Or old Kaunda suits. Can you imagine Kaunda suits? At least you'd rather not give out a real suit. But Kaunda suit, and they are all there. And the Lord showed him all the house and said, now you see this guy, in the dream, he's seeing everything. He say, you see, this guy was supposed to be the next president. But his heart is too small. He cannot take off. He cannot take over that position. He's such a... You know the scripture says a generous soul will be watered. Then it says, but they also say somewhere that there's somebody who withholds more than is what? Than is necessary. And he tends to poverty. Where you cannot even, like, you know, you keep all the TVs behind and you can give it to your house girl and she'll be blessed. There's one who scatters yet increases more. And there's one who withholds more than is right. But it leads to poverty. Now you see, God is not going to bring another Mukodo. We've had enough Makodo as presidents who are only enriching their family. So this guy is in the spirit and he goes around this man's house and God tells him he can't be. Look at this. So you go into a man's cupboards and, you know, drawers and you see old. And some of you are like that. You buy a new TV, you don't have the raw to give out the old one. Just call somebody and bless them. You have a new one. Do you understand? Just call somebody and say, I bought a very big screen. So why don't you come and take this one? Otherwise, you become... So you keep it. I'll put it in the children's bedroom. What? Then you remain a mukodule. And you know, there's always a reason why. So this guy could not be because of that. Now, somebody's dreams are shattered. And the Lord actually said he's supposed to have been. So just because you have a dream and just because God told you about it doesn't mean it's going to be that way. No. There are certain things you have to follow. Paths. I told you that anyway. Now, when you arrive at the place, look there for Jehu, the son of, among his associates. Go ahead. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head. And say, thus says the Lord, I've anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and do not delay. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he had arrived there, there were captains of army sitting. And he said, I have a message for you, commander. Then Jehu said, which one of us? Now you see, this guy is a servant of the king. He's a captain in the king's army. Now this guy is calling him commander. He's not even the commander of the army. But now this is the son of the prophet speaking prophetically. But because he's among his associates, he doesn't know who are you talking about. Are you talking about him? So he says, first come out. For which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. And he rose and went into the house. Then he poured oil on his head and said to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of Israel, people of the Lord over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab. Now I want you to know that there is not a single vision that God gives you without a purpose. Amen? So even the one he gave me, there is something I know I'm supposed to do. Now, he will tell you you're going to be king because I want you to do ABC. It will never just be about you being king. God has to give you his plan. Now, the reason I've selected you is I want you to do this, that. And as long as you do it, you'll be protected. Like the other guy who abuses people back on Twitter. As long as he does what he's supposed to do, there is nothing you can do to touch him. Nothing. His enemies are so angry. They're even calling for people to block people. They are chasing people out of restaurants. They are doing what? But the more they fight, the more they go down. And as long as he stays there. Now, if they are trying to kind of sanitize him and make him, that want to make you a bit more presidential, then they would hammer him. Now then, he misses the plan of God and then nothing happens. Like the other day, I was hearing a preacher saying, I think I went to find this thing of prosperity. Now I want to learn how to be humble. And man, I wanted to bury my head in the sand. Man, you know people with small hearts. Like somebody came and told me, can you imagine talking about the KCCA executive director? She earns 43 million. And I say, why are you angry about that? He said, that's too much money. I tell him, for me, I'm angry when I hear somebody earns 120,000. Because how do they survive? Like, that's what makes me angry. Somebody earning a lot of money, that is not a source of anger for me. But you see how people's things are twisted. You hear somebody earns 80,000, you probably even pay that to your mate, and it's okay. But you get very angry when you hear somebody earns 43 million. That is the spirit of poverty. For me, I'm only angry when I hear somebody earns 120K. How do you survive? Then I start saying, you have to pay rent, you have to do this, how do you... Now, that makes my blood boil. Now, when I hear somebody earns 100 million, I say, okay, they can live on that. At least now that one, I don't have to worry about. That's one less person to worry about. But man, do you know the spirit of poverty hovering over this nation? Where people get angry at a lot of money. Anyway. Now, here is the purpose. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Say amen. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. The dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of land of at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. Why are you excited? How come I've been reading other scriptures and you are... it's not me. Me, I'm just reading the Bible. Amen. Okay. The dogs shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Okay. Then Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this madman come to you?" Now you see people who call even prophets madmen. And he said to them, You know the man and his babble. Go ahead. And they said, "Eli, tell us now." So he said, "Thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel." Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on top of the steps, and they blew trumpets, saying, "Jehu is king." So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Joram was the king of the time. Now Joram was a son of Jezebel, and a son of Ahab and Jezebel. Now Joram, and he had been anointed to be what? King. And he had been promoted. Now Joram had been defending. But why are you people laughing? Those are yours. Me, I'm reading what? The Bible. You know the guy who is anointed to be the successor? The son of Ahab and Jezebel. Okay. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one live or escape from the city to go and tell it to Jezreel." Okay. So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was laid up there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman, why are you excited? Okay. The word of the Lord, And me, I'm just reading the Bible. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, "I see a company of men." And Joram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet him, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" Now, can you imagine when somebody has been anointed, that he's just right, and he's one of the king's servants, and he's riding towards the palace, and the king sends somebody and says, "Are you coming peacefully? Is it peace?" Now, you see something has changed already in the spirit realm, That somebody who is supposed to be insignificant, he's not even supposed to have the authority to approach the king's palace. But now he comes and they ask him, "Are you coming, Burundi?" And then, okay, go ahead. So the horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, "What have you to do with the peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger went to them, but he's not coming back." Then he sent out a second horseman to come to them and say, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "He went up to them and he's not coming back. And he's driving. The driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi. For he drives what? Then Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. Then Joram the king. Can you imagine? He comes out to meet one of his commanders. Then Joram the king of Israel and Ahaziah the king of Judah went out, each in his own chariot. And they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Now it happened, the vineyard, yes. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace? As long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many." Then Joram turned around and fled. You understand? And said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow and his full strength, and shot Jehoram, who is the same as Joram, between his arms, and the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, pick him up and throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord. And I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore, take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord. But when Ahaziah king of Judah saw this, he fled by the road to Beth Aven. So Jehu pursued him and said, shoot him also. And they also shot him. Okay, next verse. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Oh dear. Okay. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, is it peace, Zimri, mother of your master? Now she's calling him mother of her husband, of her son. And he looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down with her paint. She had done makeup. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. And he said, go now to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was the king's daughter. You know, he didn't know the prophecy about her not being buried. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him and said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, on the blood of ground of Jezreel, at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel. But I will end by saying this. These people come asking for peace. They want you to settle for something less. This guy said, no peace. I have come here to avenge myself. Praise the Lord. Amen? Now, when the king comes to meet you with a chariot, that's supposed to be an honor. Not for this guy. Because he knew where the anointing lies. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Something is happening. You guys. Glory to God. You will see. By the way, me, I'm not going to get stripes. I am going to sit in my place. Amen? I'm going to sit in my place. Bulunji. And you will see what is going to happen to this nation. When something happens. And you see what's going to happen to this nation. And I already know what my purpose is. What I'm supposed to do. But that one is when I, become the watchman. But that one is what? That one is between me and what? I'm still planning it for lunch. But it's going to happen. Now, I'm telling you this. Let me tell you. You think what you have is very daunting. It's very intimidating. Let me tell you. I have a reason to be intimidated. But I am not. I'm excited. Because the anointing goes ahead of me. The anointing goes ahead of me. And I was anointed. And it goes ahead. And it makes crooked places straight. And it breaks the gates of bronze. And cuts the bars of iron. And gives me the treasures of secret. The secret riches of glory to God. Say that of yourself. Say the anointing goes before me. Say it again. And makes crooked places straight. And makes the path for me. And cuts the gates of bronze. And breaks the bars of iron. To give me the treasures of darkness. And the secret riches of dark places. That the whole world might know. That I am a child of God. Anointed for this day. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to be excited. If you're not, then maybe we are going to have to get dancers here for you to excite you. Queen dancers. But man, something is happening. Praise the Lord. Something is happening. Amen? Okay, now we are already at past time. So just get your offering, and we've already proclaimed what we have to proclaim. It is already done. Chiwe de, you're already there. Amen. Now, if you're one of those people who believe, like, you know, I've seen people, even among us, like, they are so convinced in the invincibility of these people. I don't understand. Like, anyway, maybe when you don't spend time with God, you get convinced by what? But we have seen a God who works. I have seen a God who works. Amen? Not a God, not a weak God. Not a God whom the church preached before. Get your offering. Get your offering and even connect to this what? To this thing. So if you don't enter your thing, those are yours. Me, I'm going to enter. Amen? Me, I'm going to go and sit there. Whether they like it or not, there is nothing they can do. Nothing. We have to dominate. It is like we have to dominate. And God will restore the years that the locust has eaten in this country. Do you know that in 5 years we can be very, very, very rich? Actually, 5 have even said amen. I'm telling you, there are minerals which will only be discovered when the right man is there. Very rare minerals. That was a prophecy given by Prophet Elvis. In 2012, when many of you didn't even know him, when the right man is there, rare minerals, like wealth. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you because we do your will, we do your bidding, and we pursue those things that you've set before us because they are your will. We do not pursue them out of raw ambition. We do not pursue them out of it. We pursue them because they are your will. And we shall do your will. We shall do your will. Somebody say, I will do his will. And his will is for me to dominate. Say it again. Now you're not even saying it, Burundi. Say, I will do his will. And his will is for me to dominate. Say, nobody will stand in my way. The anointing clears the way for me. Say, the path is clear. I can see straight through to that throne which is waiting for me to go and sit on it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you because we will sit on that throne. Everyone here will sit on his throne, and we shall not be intimidated, and we shall not fear. We shall not be like grasshoppers. We shall know that as long as you are with us, and it is your will for us to go there, we will go there. There is nothing the world can do. There is nothing they can do because we have you, and you are king, and your word cannot be altered, and your word is not void. Your word shall not return to you void. It shall accomplish that for which it has been sent. And it has been sent to lift us up and put us on our thrones. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.